Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks. How are you feeling today, Rosemary Wild?
Illuminated.
Nice. I like that kind of is at least adjacent to our theme that we talked about for today.
Yes.
Well, welcome back to Austin.
Thank you.
It's been quite a while. I'm honored that you chose to take time out of your schedule on this trip to stop by and say hi to me. It's really nice to see you again.
It's very nice to see you as well.
Yeah. My first question, as you may or may not be aware or be prepared for, is who are you, Rosemary Wild?
I am a visionary creator. I tune into beautiful frequencies and I bring them into fully manifested form for all to play with.
Beautiful. Well, I'm Vision Battlesword. I founded Sacred Light. I am the creator of Intentional Autonomous Relating and the host of Sacred Conversations. And today we agreed to talk about the topic of energy. Does that still sound like fun to you?
Absolutely.
I'm so pleased that we're having this topic, and I'm surprised I haven't talked to anyone else about it yet because it's something that's very, very interesting to me. It's something that I'm genuinely very curious about, and it's something that I would say I've only recently really started to have a direct experience of. The whole idea of energy and energy sensitivity as a person, as a human, is pretty new to me, you know, kind of as part of my spiritual journey and my spiritual awakening of the past few years. And I know that you are something of an expert, or at least I think that you're something of an expert in this whole area. And so I'm really excited to hear everything that you have to say and everything that you know, all of your wisdom about the whole idea of energy. And I might take it from a little bit more of a scientific perspective on my side, and I'm sure we can meet somewhere in the middle. Does that sound good?
Absolutely.
What is energy?
Energy is consciousness. It is that which forms creation to be experienced by itself through different perspectives, holding different knowledge. So the experience that I have had in witnessing down to a fundamental microscopic level, or atomic level, I should say, is that an electron is holding the consciousness of electron. That would be very different than the consciousness of a human person.
So you think an electron has consciousness?
In the sense that it simply is itself. So its consciousness is then just electron. And that's why when you feel down to a specific level, you can feel that. And that's something that I teach, is in meditation where you expand and you feel the atoms that are forming the walls of the room and forming your body. When we give ourselves the opportunity to experience outside of what we've been taught, our awareness gets to expand naturally. I have degrees in biology and psychology. I also have archaeology and history, but specifically speaking of science, what I was taught in my classes helped me as I came to different consciousness. So I had a very intense healing experience where my body, as I was forming it, had become one of pain. So the predominant thoughts that I was repeating were, I'm in so much pain and I hate myself and I hate my life. And when I got to the point where I couldn't lift my head off of a pillow because of the injuries that I'd sustained, and it was just me and my thoughts, I was able to slow down because I had nowhere else to be. All I had to do was heal. And I said, all right, well, I'm going to give my body the best chance to heal. How do I do that? Okay. I remembered my classes. Take the stress away. The only thing stressing me out at that time was my thoughts. The constant repetition of, I have to get up and do something. I have to get up and do something. Even when I couldn't support my head on my neck, I had torn a muscle back here. And that was after years of nerve pain from a car accident. So when I witnessed the thoughts, as I began meditating, breathing, creating space between my cells and relaxing my body, I gained a higher awareness of the energy moving through it. And when the thought came in again of, I'm in so much pain and I have to get up and do something, I was able to witness my body tense at that, my body tighten, contract. I said, oh, okay, I see what's happening. I was pulling everything together, right? My body was tightening around this thought. It was physically holding it in places. And when I cleared enough space to be able to differentiate and recognize where exactly in my body it was, then I was actually able to do something about it. And that looked a lot like breathing and releasing tension, as well as choosing new thoughts and committing to that. So my new mantra became, my body has always been perfect and everything's amazing and I love my life. And it only took about 18 hours of me committing to that, not letting anything else distract me. Any other story came up, I'm like, nope, that's not true. Nope, doesn't matter. And after 18 hours, I was standing and washing dishes at the sink, which I hadn't been able to do in months. So when we get our conscious mind out of the way, which is what's holding on to the energy of I'm in so much pain, then our body's actually able to do what it's designed to do, which is to return to wellness. Your DNA has all the coding in it. It knows exactly what to do. It's the conscious mind that gets in the way, and that's the energy. So cultivating the awareness in the body allows you to direct it.
What does that have to do with the relationship between energy and consciousness? Or you're using the word consciousness in a certain way when you're talking about getting your conscious mind out of the way, then you're talking about there being an energy to pain. But when I first asked you, what is energy? You said energy is consciousness. And then we were talking about the consciousness of an electron. So help me understand, is energy and consciousness the same thing? Or are they two manifestations of one thing? Or are they two different ways of expressing something? What is that like?
It's like looking at something from two different directions. So I would say that there are aspects of the same thing, but flavored differently, depending on how one directs their consciousness.
Is
how
consciousness
one perceives something.
Is consciousness a form of energy?
Hmm.
Or is it maybe an organization of energy?
Trying to remember the word origin of science.
The word science itself?
Yeah. Because consciousness is consciousness. I think it's wisdom, with wisdom. So I would say it's structuring of energy, consciousness. So it's highly organized, structured energy. Because there's also chaos, which is unstructured energy. Or perhaps it's energy with a structure that isn't a pattern that's unrecognizable to us.
Yeah, this word pattern, because when you were talking about structuring of energy, it made me think of information and information theory. And it also makes me think of frequency and vibration. Like when you're talking about the consciousness of an electron, that's like a very steady, regular, predictable frequency. And it also represents a unit of energy, and it also represents a unit of mass. But if we start to stack electrons on top of each other in a particular pattern, then we get information. And information can be an encoding of consciousness in a way.
Yeah, it's data that's put into formation. An organism, organized, organic. It's structured consciousness. structured energy.
So it sounds like energy might be more fundamental than consciousness. Mm. Consciousness is a more complex manifestation compared to energy itself, maybe?
Yeah, the energy becoming structured.
So then what is energy?
Well, energy is all things. All things are energy. Energy is structured, and then energy can also be characterized as unstructured. However, it's never really unstructured. Even a lightning bolt, which is a discharge of energy and looks like it has a random pattern, it's still organized. It's still structured.
Mm-hmm.
It still has flow. It's still going through the easiest pathways in the air currents for it to hit through. The way I perceive energy is beyond words. Words, by nature, put one thing, one idea, one collection of sounds, or sound, if it's one syllable, onto a thing. So it labels it, and that somewhat locks it into an awareness. And it's just as easy to call it a bleep blorp as it is to call it an electron. And yet here we are, playing with the word electrons and energy. There are many things, maybe stating what energy is as we perceive it. Like, light is energy. Sound waves are energy. Thoughts are energy.
This is what's becoming interesting to me as we talk about this, about energy, is it's one of those things, kind of like information, that's not very clearly defined, even though we use the word all the time.
Yeah.
And scientific materialism would say something along the lines of, like, everything in the universe is made of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And energy is just the fundamental substance, let's just say, of the entire universe that can take all different forms. But then if you ask a scientist, what is energy? What are they going to say? Like, we have equations that describe it. You know, we can describe it in terms of electricity. We can describe it in terms of force. We could describe it in terms of the relationship between mass and heat or light or something along those lines.
Current.
Movement, kinetic energy. But what actually is it? I don't think anybody really has a super good answer to that question. Unless, well, maybe we can figure it out.
This is why I stated it's consciousness, because from my perspective and experience, everything is consciousness. So therefore, consciousness as energy, is it possible to perceive them layered on top of each other, recognizing the unique perceptions of them without perceiving them as two separate things?
I don't know. Well, do you think that... Well, let's just start with this. How about E equals MC squared?
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? Energy and mass are interchangeable. One is kind of a frozen state of the other and contains a whole lot. Mass meaning contains a whole lot of energy.
Yes. And energy being as mass is the consciousness of that forming it. So therefore, that's why I'm saying energy is consciousness, because is there ever consciousness without energy?
Is there ever anything without energy?
Is there energy without consciousness?
Is there consciousness without matter?
Is there matter without fact?
I feel like we're just playing word games now. I think it's really interesting to have this conversation, and I'm glad we're having it, because people use the word energy a lot, especially these days, like in the kind of informal way that you said it before, like, well, don't bring that energy of negativity into my space, or I'm hearing your words, but I'm feeling something different from you energetically, or all of these different ways that we use it. And then, of course, there's lots of energy systems, meaning ways that we sense or think that we can sense or harness or manipulate some insubstantial stuff that we can experience, like Qigong, Tai Chi, Kundalini, all of these different ways that we apparently sense and use and manipulate energy. We talk about our chakra system as the energy channel of the body with specific energy centers that have different frequencies or vibrations of energy associated with them. So we use this word in a lot of kind of spiritual, mystical, and ephemeral ways. But then, of course, we use it in very concrete, objective, scientific ways. Is it the same stuff that we're talking about?
Okay. So, two things. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because the first thing I was thinking about was sensation. I was like, okay, well, energy, a lot of the times, can be perceived as sensation if we're talking about it in our bodies. And then, not to expand on that at all and directly go into the second thing that popped in my head. So the Canaanite pantheon, the god El and the Elohim, El meant power and Elohim meant powers, the powers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even see in angel names, the El suffix meaning power. So Raphael being power of healing and Michael being translated to who is like God, with there being an interpretation labeled on that as if no one is like God. But if God forms all things as consciousness, then all are like God.
Now we're getting somewhere. What's the difference between energy and power? A lot of times we use those words interchangeably.
Direction? Directionality? Because you can have energy everywhere, but unless it's being channeled or stored, what is the power equation?
Is power like energy with an intent?
I was thinking or intention
like a,
as well.
Energy with a will becomes power, something like that?
Like a directed energy, so intention.
Or expression. Power is an expression of energy.
Yes.
But expression would imply a consciousness.
Yeah.
As you said.
Even the word magic comes from ancient Persian magush, so which meant power. So then a mage, a magician, is one who wields power. Wizard comes from one who is wise. Therefore, that is someone who directs wisdom, aka consciousness. So if we're looking at all these words together, it's people continuing to come to the same recognition that consciousness is forming and directing this perceived reality. And that can be seen all over the place. If you've ever played with changing stoplights, if you've ever thought about someone and then had them call you, and that's part of the game of conscious manifesting and consciously creating the reality you're living in, which is directing the energy of thought, of feeling, of perception, and having echoed back to you that which is in alignment. Ego. Ego, as I've noticed it, is where the energy goes.
Oh, ego.
Yeah. The ego, the I am. And trying to decide what parts to share because I don't want it to get too diffuse. Whenever I state I am, that becomes a set point for some sort of experience. So if people are, again, saying I am in pain versus I am healed, it's forcing the energy to channel through the body in a certain way. A lot of people who have muscle knots, it's because they have a lot of knots, cannot, will not. And that causes tension, that causes the muscles clench around that. The word can comes from cane, channel, reed, through which something flows. So when we're cutting off our cans with knots, we're literally stopping the flow of energy through something. We're saying, nope, not that direction. I'm cutting that off.
Is it the nature of energy to flow, that it wants to flow, or that it inherently, like its default state is to be in a state of motion or flowing?
I believe that would be a consciousness directing it to flow. Because then consciousness would also directing it to not flow. So if it's in a state of natural flow, or if it's just chilling, as the very serious scientists would say.
What would that even mean for energy to be chilling? Or not flowing? Like, can energy be static?
What about potential energy? Where it's like something must occur for it to convert to kinetic, or to assume the kinetic state.
I'm not 100% sure I comprehend potential energy or what it is. I mean, my best understanding of that is it's like if you use a pulley to raise a weight in sort of your classic Newtonian or traditional physics. Mm-hmm. That would be called potential energy. But when you think about that relativistically,
yeah,
that's only
not really chilling because it's like being held there by something. So then that energy is not chilling.
And presumably it's on a planet, which is like
moving,
cruising around through space,
driving
and spinning and on its axis or whatever it is that it's doing and all this other stuff. So it's really only potential energy in relationship to a gravity well.
Yeah.
And like an artificial system that you've created to put one body at a specific distance from another body and hold it there, which I don't know. It all seems real theoretical to me. You know what I mean? It's almost like a thought experiment more than it's anything real to me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. And that also raises, what is energy not?
You tell me. You just said that you can create an energy knot and restrict the flow of it.
Right. But then that's energy using itself to hold other energy back.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. So then that.
So what does that mean?
It's just games.
Yeah.
It's all games.
Energy games.
Energy games. My second book is called Quantum Poetry, Games with Myself. Because that's truly how I've experienced it. If I'm playing a game of, oh, I can't do that. That's just a perception. I could do that. I can do that right now. And that's the ego, where the energy goes, directing an idea of a story. And when we change the story, change the script, change the words we're repeating, then it shifts. If we look, okay, so interesting. There's two different ways that the Bible starts in different translations of it, right? It's in the beginning, there was the word, and then there was in the beginning, God said, let there be light. So the word as consciousness, as a name, as something that is called forth, invoked, spoken, and then light as energy, electrons, perceivable. God said, let there be light. So the speaking was occurring in this story to invoke there being light. Therefore, that would be consciousness turning a light on, directing a flow of energy. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I was just following a thread. I was pulling to see what happened.
That's what we do. That's perfect. Well, so, but in all the things you're saying there, again, this is kind of a new idea for me that I'm having in this moment, but just realizing that everything that we talk about is kind of metaphorical and set in a context.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when you say, like we're talking about potential energy and this idea, like you can visualize in your mind of raising a weight with a pulley and all this stuff. But if you step back from that, zoom out from that, you see that that is all set within a context, and it only really makes sense. It's only
within the context.
It only has any kind of a meaning in that context. Mm-hmm. And then when you say something like consciousness chooses to turn a light on, again, it's like, well, where's the switch and where's the energy source for that light, and where's that light shining into? And it all just kind of, it all kind of falls apart in the realization, I guess, I don't know, of the universe as a kind of an infinite open-ended experience. Like what's your cosmology? How do you imagine the universe overall? Do you imagine it as an expanding bubble coming out of a big bang? Do you imagine it as an infinite expanse that goes on forever? What is it like for you?
I've witnessed in meditation, in deep meditation, several times from different angles, formation of the universe and of humans and of a lot of things. And that being consciousness showing me something is I can just describe a couple of them. So it was like there was nothingness, and then all of a sudden there was everything. So sudden arrival of awareness of I am, without any other modifiers after, but just on. And that does say, okay, where did that come from? How was that able to turn on? Is there a giant computer somewhere that suddenly had the flip switched on? And then, okay, so then that computer was formed somewhere. Or is it just energy existing because that's what there is to do with itself?
But when we say it's just energy existing, more and more I'm starting to hear we have no frickin' idea. And this is just a word that we use.
Maybe we don't need an idea, but we can experience. That word has come up a few times.
Yeah.
So it becomes about the experience. And we were talking, before the mics were on, we were talking about play and joy. So perhaps with energy, the way that I work with energy is to direct it in ways that expand love and wellness and joy in my experience and the experience of everyone I interact with. And that came from pain that I redirected it, because I was able to witness how playing in a different way, playing with pain, playing with anger, affected me on a very physical level and affected everyone I love.
I want to interject that I think, because you've used words like love and joy and pain and a number of different emotional states in this whole conversation, I think that many times when people are talking about energy, they're talking about emotions.
So
emotional experiences.
Yeah. Have you heard emotions referred to as energy in motion?
I'm sure I have heard that before, but it sounds new in this moment and I really like it.
Yeah. So energy in motion, energy moving through our vessel that we learned to label in a specific way. Like a snapshot was taken at one point and you're like, okay, that's love.
Mm-hmm.
I have encountered people where the definition they have within their body of love is more akin to what I would call pain.
Mm-hmm.
So then they believe that love is pain.
I have that experience. So I had this whole conversation, a sacred conversation with Tiffany on the topic of love.
Mm.
And in that dialogue, she did like a little facilitation with me to help me get in touch with what does love actually feel like to me. And it was very much connected with pain. Not in a bad way, mm-hmm. but like a good kind of pain somehow, but it was definitely pain.
Mm.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Like the ripping open of something, that kind of pain?
I'm trying to remember now. It was more like a longing. It felt kind of like a longing and a sadness.
Mm.
But it felt good.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Weirdly. But that's definitely true for me about love. Like when I'm feeling the deepest love, there's a longing pain associated with it.
Mm.
And a lot of times that feels like crying. Even while I'm like deeply in like the love experience and happy there. You know what I mean? Like I'm not wanting to leave it, but that's true for me.
Mm. Do you like that?
I don't know that I like it. It's just what comes naturally.
Mm.
Probably because of my experiences and those snapshots mm-hmm. that formed at an early age for me of what love is all about.
Is that something you would desire to change? Or do you like it enough to keep it?
I can imagine a love that's more connected with joy mm-hmm. than with sadness. And maybe that being preferable.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's not something that I dislike in the moment while it's happening.
Mm.
But I never really was as clear on it. I was never as clear on what the specific sensations, coming back to that pin that you dropped earlier that we kind of moved on from, but I want to come back to that as well. But what those specific like sensations are for me that are associated with what I call the experience of love anyway. What is it like for you?
Love?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What I had labeled as love earlier in my life is not what I now know love as. So when I reformulated my system and changed my thought patterns, I got to choose what felt good in my body, chose to feel good in my body, and pure good too, holistically good for me. Means that no one is harmed anywhere and that it brings wellness. And that is how I perceive love. Love also feels very expansive to me. Like there's an electromagnetic pulse from the heart. If you've ever experienced a heart burst, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this energy builds up and it's just like expansive and explosive.
Yeah, I feel that too. To me, it feels like being filled up, like my entire vessel, my entire physical vessel being filled up with the sensation, the energy, if you want to call it that, whatever it is. And then like overflowing, just flowing out. And in that is, for me, a deep sense of gratitude, a deep sense of comfort and enfolding. It's more of a reaching out to enfold than a being enfolded in myself. But like there's an outward reaching motion sensation to it. There's an enfolding and a drawing in. There's a gratitude. And then there's also this like longing. It's like it's hard to describe.
Is it like an ache?
It's achy.
Yeah.
It's an achy, breaky heart.
It's what I'm perceiving that as is separation.
Yeah.
Like the consciousness of separation versus the consciousness of all things.
Mm.
And so having an awareness of all things, and this can be in different moments, right? We flow through different parts, but that ache only really ever comes from thinking that something is separate from us. And then when we have a more integrated perspective, I've found at least, we recognize that love is always here and easily accessible and easily felt. And that's a practice that I cultivate, is tuning in, selecting a specific frequency of energy and flowing it through my body. Which, as we're talking about sensations, if you're down for a little practice experiment, I can guide some energy experiencing.
I'm definitely into that and curious about it. And before we do that, I'm curious if you are interested to know what a book says about energy.
About energy?
And what it means.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. I'll be right back.
Okay.
For many years, I have been threatening, one might even say intending, to obtain a copy of the Oxford English Dictionary, which is the most complete catalog of English. It's like an encyclopedic dictionary. It's 20 volumes, like 20,000 pages or something like that. And I'm curious to know what the OED has to say about energy. Senses 1 and 2, as used by Aristotle, whereas sense 5 answers that of... And then there's a word in Greek that I do not know how to pronounce. This is fascinating. With reference to speech or writing, force or vigor of expression. So that's definition number 1, with reference to speech or writing. Force or vigor of expression. Exercise of power. We hit on that one. Actual working operation, activity. Frequently in philosophical language, formerly also... concurring the product of activity and effect, vigor or intensity of action, utterance, hence as a personal quality, the capacity and habit of strenuous exertion, power actively and efficiently displayed or exerted, power not necessarily manifested in action, ability or capacity to produce an effect. Physics. The power of doing work, possessed at any instant by a body or system of bodies, first used by Jung with reference to sense 4 to denote what is now called actual kinetic or motive energy, i.e. the power of doing work possessed by a moving body by virtue of its motion. Go ahead.
One of the most simple work equations is F equals MA.
Right. Force equals mass times acceleration.
Yes. And force is a vector, meaning it's an energy with a direction, which loops us back to intent as well. Mm-hmm. When I think about work, I think about what's the exact amount of energy it takes to get me or wherever from here to there.
Which is funny too, because before we started recording, we were talking a lot about the energy of work and productive play and all that sort of stuff. There's also this one here, mental energy, doesn't actually have a definition. It just has a usage in print.
Mm.
That's interesting. Oh, and then there's, of course, energy in the sense of essentially that which generates electricity in our modern world. So there's references to energy crisis, energy shortage, energy efficiency, energy gap.
Mm.
Fascinating. I'm always interested. I always find this interesting to look at the Oxford English Dictionary and kind of get the, I don't know, go back to the foundational definitions of words.
Will you look up consciousness?
I can. I'll have to go get another volume though. Okay. Consciousness. Joint or mutual knowledge.
Hmm.
Also in early use, consciousness to oneself, internal knowledge or conviction.
Mm.
Knowledge as to which one has the testimony within oneself, especially of one's own innocence, guilt, deficiencies, etc.
Mm.
Huh. The state or faculty of being conscious as a condition and concomitant of all thought, feeling, and volition. The recognition by the thinking subject of his own acts or affections. That's pretty good. The recognition by the thinking subject of its own acts or affections.
Mm. Mm.
The totality of the impressions, thoughts, and feelings which make up a person's being, i.e. conscious personalities.
Mm. So energy forms consciousness, or consciousness is formed of energy, and then consciousness is conscious of energy. It's very chicken and eggy. What I was going to say was, so in this last year, I have given 125 energy readings. And so what that is for me is someone who wants an energy reading, wants to know what's in their field, the field of consciousness that is forming them. And I breathe. I always set the intention for the highest love or the purest love, because that's how I choose to operate and direct my consciousness. And I tune into the energy and I say, what can I impart to this person for the highest love? And then whatever I perceive of sensorially, so if it's vision, if it's hearing, if it's taste, smell, if it's a feeling in the body, I tell them that. And there have been enough points of evidence for me as far as accuracy that have eliminated any doubt regarding energy and consciousness. Because if I'm perceiving of something, if something's coming to my conscious awareness, it's because it's there to be perceived. And so when I speak of it, it resonates with something. We can't perceive of something we're not resonant to. You can't get 104.9 if you're tuned to 95.5. So consciously directing energy to receive energy, it's like this output-input loop. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You respond, and then if you want.
So what you're saying is that you perceive energy as physical sensations somewhere in your five senses system.
Hmm.
Could be a taste, could be a physical feeling. It could be a sound or a sight,
mm-hmm.
or even a smell.
Mm-hmm. And I will also say to that end, it's not sight or hearing. Like it's not hearing usually as if I'm with someone. It's more of like the awareness, the consciousness of words. So it's like I'll hear it in my mind versus hearing it like mm-hmm. as a hallucination.
You're not having an auditory hallucination, yes. but you're getting a mental impression of a sound.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I know what the words are.
Uh-huh.
Like with writing or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a funny thing, isn't it? That knowing concept, that conceptual experience is a funny thing where it's like, yeah, I got the impression of a word, but it wasn't, I didn't see it visually. I didn't hear it, you know, as if spoken aloud,
mm-hmm.
but I somehow knew it. I got it.
Yeah.
In my mind. That's funny.
Yeah. That's cognizance.
Well, what did you mean a few moments ago when you said that you've got enough data points now from these sensations and the validation you've received about them to have no more doubt about consciousness and energy?
Mm.
That specific piece, I'm not sure what you mean.
Okay.
You mean that energy has consciousness, or you mean that consciousness has energy, or what's the relationship?
Mm. Hmm. So when I was 5, 6, my dad taught me to do body scan meditation. I had issues falling asleep. And so he taught me to do body scan meditation and progressive muscle relaxation. And it was during that time when I started really breathing that I had what I now would describe as my first awakening experience. So as I was breathing, I asked the question, actually, I don't remember the specific question, but it was something to the effect of, I want to see what God is. I want to know what Jesus knew. I want to see what all of this is about and why we're here. And what I received visually in my head was like a giant ball of light and little specks coming off of it. And those were souls.
And you saw this visually?
In my mind.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to a little speck of light. And when you go in the speck of light, suddenly you're back in the big light. So it's like you follow it back through. And that's still how I work with energy today. When I go in to myself and connect with source energy and receive consciousness, it's because I'm going in through my light.
So a lot of it for you has to do with visualizations, how you perceive it and interact with it.
Some of it's visual. Some of it is auditory. It's an interesting thing because we're visual usually before we are verbal. So we perceive of things around us. But then also our words inform the way we see things, like the reticular activating system, where when we have our filters on, sometimes we're not, if we're like, my wallet is lost, you're not seeing that it's on the counter.
So you say you've done over 100 energy readings in the past little while. What is an energy reading? What is that? So you're perceiving someone else's energy and then giving them feedback about it? Or what is that like?
For me, it's channeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, get my conscious mind out of the way and I breathe and I just perceive. And then I set my intention, my filter, so that it will only do good. And then whatever I receive and perceive, I speak to. And practice with enough energy to be able to discern differences in my body and in my perception of what energy is, or rather how energy is being directed, to what ends, to what intent. Comes in sensorially because these are our receiving devices and our emitting devices. And so the consciousness of what I would call the soul animating the body, forming it of the consciousness it's choosing. And then when we recognize things that we're not enjoying in our experience, then we change the input and then the output changes and the feedback changes. So we emit differently and it's reflected back to us in time. If you look at the word emit, it's mirrored time.
Hmm. Is the soul a different type of energy compared to the body?
I don't think so. Not from my perception. From my perception, the soul is forming the body. So you might've heard before, like, you know, your body does not contain your soul. Your soul is forming and animating your body. When the soul chooses to leave, then the body's not animated anymore. And that doesn't mean that the soul ceases to exist. But if it goes back into source energy, or if it goes elsewhere and does something else, transforms in some way. Did that answer?
Not exactly. So is the body made of energy?
Yes.
Is the soul made of energy?
Yes.
Are they two different kinds?
No.
Oh, okay. Great. And so, but...
No, but the perception is different and the consciousness is slightly different.
Does the body have its own consciousness separate from the soul?
No. It's a directionality, a direction of awareness, like interacting and interfacing in this world versus receiving from a greater awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a focusing device. But I like to, you mentioned chakras earlier, and I like to perceive it as the soul is the light and the body is the prism.
Cool. That's a cool visual. And that actually, I love that segue because I wanted to talk a little bit about Carlos Castaneda and the Toltec cosmology or perception of the universe and conscious beings. And that falls right in line with that. If we're imagining like the soul is like this beam of white light, and then the physical form of the body is like a refracting prism that the beam hits and then gets split and redirected into all of the different kind of physical manifestations.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Carlos Castaneda at all?
I know the name, but I am blanking right now about actually who he is and what he's doing.
Okay, no worries. You're familiar with Don Miguel Ruiz and the Four Agreements and all that sort of stuff. So Carlos Castaneda was an anthropologist who went down to Mexico and became apprenticed to a sorcerer of the Toltec tradition back in the 70s and 80s and wrote a bunch of books about everything he learned about magic and sorcery and energy and plant medicine and this whole psychedelic realm that he, you know, got initiated into. So I've read all those books, and what's in those books is a kind of a fictionalized, well, I don't know, it's questionable whether it's fictionalized, fictional, or just sensationalized, or like made to be more entertaining. Like, in other words, it's written in a story as a story, like, but it's written as a true account. So you can kind of use your own judgment and decide what you think is fact versus fiction versus honest recountings of psychedelic trips and states of awareness versus things that were made up altogether or maybe exaggerated. But whichever way you want to slice it, a lot of the things that Carlos Castaneda describes in terms of what he was taught in this like over 10-year apprenticeship to a shaman, a Toltec shaman, match up with other things from other traditions, you know, from the Caro people in Peru to, you know, other Native American or, you know, Native Mexican kind of traditions, sorcery, shamanistic traditions and things like that. And one of those is the description of the energy body of the human and the really the energy body of all living things, all sentient beings. And so the way it's described is very much like the kind of light and the prism metaphor that you brought up a moment ago. But the idea is essentially like what we see with our physical senses, our eyes, our actual like physical eyeballs, is really just a very, very narrow slice of this overall reality that we inhabit. And we, our person, is not this meat suit that we that we perceive in our state of ordinary reality. That's only like a tip of an iceberg protruding into this 3D space that is what we like, what we believe to be all of reality, even though it's not. But really what we are is we're a luminous egg-shaped energy being. And actually everything is energy. That when you progress down this path of wisdom and the path of the warrior and the path of sorcery and all this stuff, that eventually you can just simply perceive the world as it is, as pure energy, the energy that it that everything is actually at its most fundamental level. And what you see if you look at a human in that state is you see something that looks kind of like an upside down egg. So it's more tapered toward the bottom and it's more bulbous or rounded at the top. It's radiant, it's luminous, and it's very colorful. And it's made up of a seemingly infinite number of individual colored luminous filaments or like energetic threads that are all kind of woven together in this container, this mass, and that it has a few different specific kind of points on the outside of the shell, but one of which is the most important, it's called the assemblage point. And that's actually the kind of orifice
intake
that energy passes into and out from as we kind of interact with all of the energy that we're swimming around in and bouncing around in as this luminous egg. And so in this particular view of how the human composite and perception works is that by shifting our assemblage point around the outside of or even inside of our luminous energy body, that accounts for the changes and the shifts in the way that we perceive the energetic world around us. And so we, as these kind of three-dimensional humans that we perceive ourselves to be, we're merely domesticated and conditioned from birth.
To think that we're lesser than we are?
No, not necessarily. Well, perhaps, but merely to fix our assemblage point at a very specific place and keep it there rigidly. So this kind of brings me back to what you were saying almost at the very beginning of the conversation, where you were talking about like how we hold, you know, we like squeeze and hold ourselves in a specific
formation.
Correct. Yeah. Like that's what we're doing all the time. We're just, we're just really, really uptight. And that's why all we can see and perceive is this physical, seemingly material stuff. And things like psychedelics, meditation, different forms of energy work, other types of spiritual experiences allow our assemblage point to become a little bit freed up and a little bit more fluid, and to drift maybe around in some different directions where we suddenly get to perceive other parts of this reality. But it's only through years of study and practice and de-domestication, essentially, that we can like start to become truly conscious and intentional in our control of our own perception.
Practice holding on the thing that you're desiring to experience versus the thing you're not desiring to experience. When you mentioned threads, this brought up, so something that I've been doing lately in my psychic sessions is, and this unlocked in a session with someone where they needed something in particular. And I always tune into spirit, source, whatever you want to call it, God. I use the names interchangeably. And I saw reaching into her field and grabbing onto a thread, the thread that is running through her being. There's many threads, but the one that lit up for me to grab, I grabbed it. And I felt its pure essence, and then I amplified it. So I held onto it and strengthened it, flowed energy into it. Not energy directed, but allowed the energy of its direction to be itself, if that makes sense. And it got brighter and brighter and brighter. And then I witnessed what could be described as DNA. It like spiraling up and becoming like crystalline in a rainbow. And it was really beautiful visuals. And so I just held on to it. And anytime anything was coming into the field of awareness of not that, I just let it go by. I didn't attach to it. Didn't say like, oh, what if this is crazy? What if she's not experiencing anything? Blah, blah, blah. Like irrelevant. That was one of the games with myself that I get to ignore. Just making everything that singular point of awareness and energy, hold the thread, hold it until her energy shifted and then her consciousness was holding it. So I waited until that was just the pure essence of her experienced reality. And then I retracted my energy and we talked about what she had experienced, and she was describing the visuals that she was having, and they were in alignment with what I was experiencing. And that was, I think, 3 months ago at this point that I did that with her. And since then I've done about 10 of them. And it's very interesting because it's always different, but always the same, if that makes sense. It's always different in what that specific person needs or what their soul is asking for, what is being offered to shift. And it's always the same in that it's the holding of the resonance that allows the other stuff to fall away.
You said earlier that you wanted to offer to take me through some kind of an experience. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Cool. Should I get comfortable or something?
We'll be going through a few different emotions and observing them, not for the story behind them, but for the location and directionality in the body. And we might add a little something else. So if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes if it helps. Do you like cats?
I like cats.
Okay. Think of a time when you were hanging out with a cat you particularly liked or loved.
Okay.
And you were petting this cat, and the cat was purring, and you felt what you may label as happy or love. So breathe into that feeling in the body. Do you feel that in the body, that memory?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so where in the body do you feel that?
In my solar plexus.
Mm. And does that energy have a directionality to it? Like, is it moving outwards, inwards? Is it staying where it is?
I have a sense of rotation, top to bottom, or actually bottom to top. So like there's a ball and it's rotating on a horizontal axis. So from the bottom, the lower part moving forward and then up and then coming back toward my heart and then down, you know, sort of on the side toward my spine, like that kind of a rotation.
Mm. All right. You can say body intensify feeling.
Body intensify feeling.
Did you notice any changes?
Yeah, I think the feeling slightly intensified.
Yeah. Did anything else change? Did your response to it change?
Yeah, I feel like something kind of moved up into my throat.
Mm.
Maybe a little behind my eyes.
Now, are you a visual person? Do you imagine visually in your head?
Sometimes.
Okay. So observe these sensations as light in your body. Can you locate that?
Okay. Yeah. I'm creating an imagination.
You're creating an image. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So as you breathe in, take in 5 breaths and out. And as you breathe in and out, visualize it getting brighter and spreading through your whole body. And allow yourself to feel it. And note if there's anywhere in your body where it's particularly not flowing to, or if it's skipping an area. And if that is the case, I invite you to breathe and visualize it flowing through that area easily. If you notice any tension coming up in any areas, visualize it opening and flowing. Are you feeling more in your body?
I'm feeling some stuff in my body. I'm also feeling pain in my left sinus cavity and like kind of the left upper quadrant of my head.
Mm.
So I was kind of got distracted with that.
Mm.
And was just inspecting that with curiosity and seeing if I could get energy to flow through there.
Yeah.
But it feels like a big blockage, like almost like if I can imagine my head as a sphere, there's like this whole 25% wedge of it that's just shut off.
I love that. That's great. That's something we get to play with if you want.
Sure.
Yeah. So can you visualize, hold the awareness of the cells that are forming the structure of your body in that area? It can be just a general awareness, like a quick flash of, okay, I see cells forming tissues, forming bone, etc.
Okay.
Now go into one cell. Go into one cell and have the awareness that you are going into all of the cells in that area, but only focus on one and then have a general halo of awareness for the rest of them.
Okay, so I'm visualizing one specific cell mm-hmm. in this area
mm-hmm.
and I'm moving my center of consciousness to it or attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Go to the nucleus of the cell.
Okay.
Visualize the energy, light that we were just imagining, experiencing in the body, and visualize that light coming through that one cell. And as it spreads through that one cell, witness it spreading through the rest of the cells through their nuclei. And just breathe and relax. And anywhere tension may come up, allow it to relax. Anywhere a thought may come up, allow it to keep moving. Interacting with it is not necessary in this game. Breathing in. Allowing expansion, allowing space between the cells, forming your tissues, forming your muscles, and exhaling, letting it go. Inhaling, feeling space, and exhaling, letting it go. And now allow your energy, allow yourself to direct that energy that you've just cultivated in that area and feel it flowing through the rest of your body. and observe its pathway. Send it down through your spine. Notice where it naturally wants to go. And breathe in and release any tension. What did you observe?
I'm really stuck on this just point of pain in my skull. It's we're talking about energetic knots before. It feels like a real tight knot. And so I've just been kind of stuck there. You know, I'm trying to visualize the cells. I'm trying to bring that imagery of the light, of the sensation of kitty cat love into that area. And I'm feeling a more and more and more intense pain the longer that we go on, which is really interesting to me because
that's very interesting.
I do have an awareness that there's something going on in my body in this area. And yet I'm becoming aware the extent to which I'm tuning it out all the time. And like this exercise for some reason has like allowed, like in opening myself to allow energy to flow freely through my body in that way that we did at the very beginning, revealed something. I think that's kind of always there. It's really interesting to me.
Okay. What happens if we observe what we call pain? I'll do this right now because there's a point on my rib that I've been noticing since dance this morning. So I'll do it with you. What happens when we observe what we label as pain as energy? We label it simply as energy and then observe directionality in it. What's the directionality of that point? If it's not actually directing anywhere, if it's not moving, if it's just one point, is it pulsing? Is it pulled in?
It feels like it's pointing inward.
Mm.
Like I can feel it very local, like it's like I have a very high fidelity localization. It's like right it's like right here under my eye and it's pointing inward.
Okay.
Toward the back of my head.
Okay. What happens if you let yourself feel it fully to the full intensity that it desires to be felt, or that it's able to be felt, that you're able to feel it, and having the awareness that emotion, which a lot of these experiences we have physically tend to be, will not last in the body more than 90 seconds once they're fully allowed to move through. So if we have our conscious mind repeating, I'm in pain, this is wrong, it's getting worse, etc., that's our thoughts piling onto it. What happens if we take that all away and just let yourself feel it? Don't try to do anything with it or direct it, but just witness and let any stories about it go away. And as you breathe in, allow yourself to just find as much relaxation and ease in your body as you can.
I'm entering an extremely relaxed and even meditative, even like disassociative state, even in this moment, which is also very interesting to me, just how easily I'm able to get there even while we're doing this and I'm talking to you and all of the things. And, yeah, it's interesting. I'm feeling it. I'm allowing it as much as I can. There's lots of stories attached to it that are like wanting to crowd into my consciousness. And that's probably the biggest distraction is trying to detach from those and let them float away and just not be a part of having the experience that I'm having right now. But it's just kind of ebbing and flowing. It's like sometimes it just feels like the sensation is kind of just going away, and then sometimes it's very present. But the deeper I go into relaxation, the more it may still be there, but I'm at peace with it. Something like that.
Breathing in and relaxing further into your body. Allowing yourself to be. The thoughts floating by are not wrong. They're just there to either be interacted with or to not be interacted with. Do you have any particular desires as far as how you desire to feel?
Yeah, I desire, you know, for the left side of my head to feel more like the right side of my head, which is to say that like the right side of my head feels expanded, inflated, like full. It feels open and unconstricted, unrestricted. It's pain-free. Mm. And the left side feels like collapsed and sunken and literally like caved, like I feel caved in, like my right side is just a full normal head and the left side is like as if it's been, you know, smashed in with a hammer or something. It's like it's caved in on itself into like especially into my eye socket. And I would love to feel the fullness and the completeness on that side the way I feel it on the right side.
Happens if you take your awareness as much as you can away from the left side and direct it on the right side and breathe in and feel the right side, feel the health and vitality and breathe and note those particular energy signatures.
Well, I don't know, but as you were talking, weirdly, just in having declared that in desire, I felt the left side like inflating.
Nice.
And I also kind of realized, and it's like maybe 70 or 80% now as big as the other side. But I also realized that it's like, I'm just holding it that way with the muscles of my face. In declaring that I wanted to feel like I wanted the two sides to feel the same and to feel good. Like I realized my face is just started relaxing and like letting, like not pulling itself into that kind of crushed in state. And it feels good.
Good job.
I wonder how long I've been holding myself like this. That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sensing anything energetically as we're having this conversation?
I've actually been keeping my energy separate from it so that you can have your own experience and so that I can hear it as you're experiencing it for your first time versus me having an awareness of it. But I can observe if you would like me to.
I'm curious what you detect.
Interesting. Okay, and how can I communicate this for the highest love? So I get a visual of like collapsing buildings and the words coming up is the infrastructure is down. And so this is a more metaphorical experience, right? So the way that you had formed yourself before with the thoughts that you had held, whether you had experienced them and decided to identify with them, they have become unworkable. And so now that there's cultivating the awareness of energy and you were able to start saying like, oh, actually I'm like holding my face that way, I'm holding my head that way. Oh, it's allowing the space for new neuronal pathways to fire and move. And part of that opening is the release of the tension, the attention. So this is the direct example of how thoughts form body. And you even said the thing that was distracting most was the thoughts that were coming in, all the stories about it, all the stored energy, story. I'm curious, a little curious, so you don't have to bring it up, but I am curious if there's a particular thought that came up a lot. And if you notice yourself just releasing that thought, like not holding onto that thought, wherever the tension is and that thought comes up, open that, release that. If you experience the detachment from it.
Mm.
And is that what you were experiencing when you shifted your attention to, oh, I desire this to feel really good. And then because when we say I desire this to feel really good, what you're doing is you're conjuring the feeling of it feeling really good. And then it's able to take up the energetic template.
Hmm. Well, that was a lot. It was like a lot of different things I could respond to there. I'll have to think about it and not think about it. I'll have to pay more attention, I think, and notice the connection between the thoughts and the sensations over time. I don't think I can answer that question for you in this moment right now. It's just that there's so much story wrapped up in this particular physical experience for me, because this has been going on for me for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all sorts of stories and speculations and fears and, you know, theories and all sorts of things about it. So I think this is a really cool first step for me toward getting in touch with what it actually is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to what it ever was before or what it was initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll take me some time, but I appreciate the guidance and the direction to become more intentional about that.
Yeah. Is there anything else that I can mention here?
Oh, the piece about the infrastructure is interesting to me, but in especially the piece about stories and how they're stored energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. That's a new little cherry on top of, I don't know, just everything, my whole belief system, especially about stories.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Can I riff on that a little
Please.
Bit?
Love
okay,
that.
Because this is kind of like one of my special interests. Yeah. Okay. So the way that I perceive memory, DNA, is our genetic memory, our genetic material. It's this mineral crystalline structure that is formed of the previous stored energy that combine and create our vessels originally. And then as we experience and have our own choose your own adventure, different aspects of that already available story get switched on or off. And that would be seen in methylating or acetylating genes. So like silencing genes, turning them on and off, which occurs during stress and also get demethylated when you relax, when you come out of trauma and fight or flight. When people have stories around not being safe, around being in pain, et cetera, and these things get switched off, there's no longer the access points because it's literally not on. So our stored energy, our story is our DNA, and we get to alter it. Our DNA becomes altered when we experience new things. Our stored energy, our memories. I often describe us as organic supercomputers because we are. And then the energy running through us would be soul without a personality. And then the personality or personal reality that we experience gets developed through our lives, through the verbal components. I like to call them spell components. And the verbal components we get passed from our society, from our ancestors, our parents. I joked once in a poem that parents are pairs of rented minds because these are the consciousnesses forming those bodies that then did a little dance and made a new body with that same stored energy with some of the genes of each one. So some of the stories from each recombining to make a new story, like to go on adventures, experience new things and run the simulation, the patterns in ways to learn new things. That's why we get to respond differently than our parents did. And especially in observing what did not work for them. So it's like if you're ever looking at a person and you're like, why would they do that? It's like, that's the way the program ran. That is the available lines of code that they have.
Mm.
And then it's through the experiencing and the introduction of new things that we get to change those code. And then what happens? Our DNA changes in response to the experience. And that becomes part of us if we desire and decide that it is. So people, you know, deciding that they're afraid of dogs and even physically experiencing being afraid of dogs doesn't actually mean that they are afraid of dogs, because there might be times in their life where they are afraid of dogs. There might be times they're not afraid of dogs. It doesn't mean that it's a static point, but it is a stored energy, so that then when they perceive of a dog, they might feel threatened. And this is always also, not always, but this is also circumstantial, right? So if a person is feeling more relaxed, they might not even notice a dog in their awareness. But if they're stressed, they might be hypervigilant, and then they're going to be like, there's dogs everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I can't shake the feeling that energy and information are kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say?
No, sorry. I just remembered a poem that I wrote.
Do you want to say the poem?
Yeah. Can I get it? I brought my second book. I can grab it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear your poem.
Okay.
Please.
It's called good information. I am divine intelligence. Consciousness in formation. Direct the energy of thought. Arrange my ordination. I'm organized in form, my organs formed of my creation. The operation of my thoughts gives order to my nation. My mind and spirit work together in cooperation. Coordinate the forms in order with this information. Everything is mathematics. You are an equation. Variables defined as constants yield your calculations. What once was constant now is changed. Adjust the derivation. Through repetition, I rephrase the situation. Select new operators and update all my expressions. The words I speak define my ease, confirm through affirmation. My cells are formed of particles. My thoughts are all the waves. Together, I'm a wavicle, a living light display. No matter is too solid. It's all about the phase. As I emit my frequency, my light defines my space.
I can't imagine a better way to end this episode than that, because it really just brings together every single thing we talked about, just about.
Yeah.
And we can save entropy for a whole nother day. That's a different topic
altogether. Different topic.
But that was awesome. That's a great poem. I love that. That's your quantum poetry book, Games with Myself.
Yes.
Wow. How do I get a copy of that?
It is on Amazon.
Nice. I'll have to go check that out.
Yes. Under Rosemary Podrucki.
All right then. I can put that in the notes too, in case anybody else wants to check it out. What are your final thoughts on energy after this little exploration and all these little threads that we pulled on? Have you come to any new conclusions, or tie it all together for me?
It's how we play with it, I would say. It's a reaffirmation to me that it's not so much what it is or what it isn't, but it's how we direct it and how we choose to play with it, utilize it in any given moment. And when we remember it now being the only moment we're present to, it's like, what is the most fun I could be having in this moment? What's the most play? What's the most beautiful vision I can cast for myself, call in, and have fun on the journey of bringing it into experiential reality?
Yeah. Well, I'd say that I am both more clear and less clear now about energy.
Mm-hmm.
But what it seems to me is it's a word that we use to mean everything.
Yeah.
It's synonymous with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, I think what's important about energy is how it's structured, how it's ordered, what its configuration is. And more, I'm coming to believe that the word for that is information. That we are made of patterns,
yeah,
of energy, and some patterns, maybe all, to your point of the very beginning of this conversation about the electron, maybe all, but certainly some of these patterns are the kind that we call consciousness, because they are the kind that has the ability to be aware of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff.
Great.
Thanks for the conversation. I really appreciate
this one. Thank you. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's good information.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about, and we can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.